I want to start a new series this morning, which I'm calling Triumphing in Life. Triumphing in Life. There's so much happening around us, and our society is getting a little bit more unfriendly towards Christianity. And so I want to encourage us in through this series to realize that God's will for us is, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what's happening around us, is for us to experience victory. Paul says in Romans 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of God. No tribulation, no trial, no devil, no demon, no past, no future. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And because of this, we can triumph in the Lord. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage us to have and embrace the truth of God's word, that we are more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors. We can walk with our heads high no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. And I want to use as a pattern through this series the life of Joseph. A young man who experienced all sorts of difficulties, all sorts of trying circumstances. But in the midst of all those circumstances, he was able to triumph. He was able to be victorious. This morning, I want to talk about, I've called it Keep the Dream Alive. That title presupposes that you have a dream. That God has somewhat spoken to you in the past. He has spoken a word. He has given you some insight, some desire. If he hasn't, then you need to go into the secret place. You need to seek him, because he's a God who speaks. From Genesis 1, he spoke and the words came into existence. He's a speaking God, and therefore he's always sharing things with us. And so there should be some things that he wants to share with us that will cause us to have a dream, will cause us to have something to look forward to, that he will intervene and bring about. So turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. And I just want to share a little bit at first, looking at the background of Joseph and some of the issues that surrounded him. And in the midst of those issues, he got his dreams. Genesis 37 verse 1 says, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the son of Bilhah and the son of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. So we all know the story. If you grew up in church, you have been taught it in Sunday school at some point, about Joseph. And in this message today, I'll talk about Joseph, then we'll talk a little bit about Caleb. But we all know the background, that Joseph here was, it says in verse 2, that he came and brought a bad report about his brothers. He was like the 11th of the 12 sons, and he brought a bad report about his brothers. Now, I'm the last child of 11 for my father. My father had two sons before he met my mother, and he had 9 children with my mother. So I'm the last of 11. He had 8 boys. And I know, as a child growing up, I learned the hard way. It's never good to come back and tell stories about what your other siblings have been up to. It's never a good thing. And Joseph learned the hard way, because he came back and tattletale on his brothers. And he didn't come back with a good report saying they helped this poor man or whatever. He brought back a bad report. I like the Bible. The Bible is just straightforward. It doesn't try and just paint everybody as being nice saints. And so here was Joseph. It says he was 17 years old. The scriptures says he was a youth. Use a Hebrew word there, which can mean boy, but it really means he was a young man. It's the same word used of David when David was going to fight Goliath. So he was old enough to have sense, let's put it that way, to realize, no, that's not the thing you want to do. But for whatever reason, I think he wanted to look good to his father. Usually when people do that, they want to say, well, I wasn't involved, it was them. He wanted to look good to his father, but when you do that, you look bad to your own siblings. And then to make things worse, he was a favorite. He was a child, it says here in verse 3, of his old age. He was the first child of Rachel. Rachel couldn't have any children initially. And so she had felt despised. And eventually she had this son, Joseph. And so Jacob showed him favor. He was daddy's pet. That makes it worse. If you realize you're the pet, you should not bring a bad report. It just doesn't, two things don't go together. But Joseph loved him more than others because he was a son of his old age, the son of the wife that he really loved. That's not a good thing, parents, to show favoritism in that type of way. I'm sure you all know that. And then to make it worse, he made a robe for Joseph. A nice, fancy robe, which in that culture, wearing a robe around signified a person of authority, a person of importance, a person of favor. You have 12 sons and you only make one robe for one son? That doesn't look good. And this young man didn't have anybody to talk to him and give him some words of advice. So to the full-length robe account to what the scholar says, which point to authority and favor, and he wore it all over the place. How do I know that? Because later on when his father sent him out to bring some food to his brothers who were out taking care of the sheep, he wore the robe. And they could see him from far. I know that robe. That's him. He's wearing it. My wife says he's flaunting it. He's reminding them that I'm the favorite. It's not a good idea. And so anywhere he goes, everybody sees him in this robe. And if it's a stranger, they're going to say, wow, your parents really, really love you and have some stuff in store for you, some plans for you. And the brothers are always being reminded of it day in and day out. He's just rubbing it like salt into a wound. Well, I learned from early, because when you have older siblings, if you tattletale and you don't do things right, you're going to get a bad treatment. They're going to hit you in the head. They're going to leave you stranded somewhere and see how you respond until you learn a lesson. So here is this young man wearing this robe in public, and the Bible says his brothers hated him. They couldn't speak a kind word to him. And then on top of this, he has a dream. Two dreams. And he dares to share the dreams with his brothers. As I was reading this past week, I was saying to myself, so Lord, this kid had all of these issues, and you still give him a dream? Isn't that amazing? This young man has all of these things that he's not handling properly. And God, in the midst of all of that, still gives him a dream. And it tells me that the type of God that we serve, he doesn't allow circumstances to dictate to him how he speaks to us. Sometimes you and I can be doing all sort of stuff which are not wise, and God will still speak to us. God will still give us his word. He'll still give us a prophetic word. He'll still give us a dream. He's that type of God. He wants us to have a security in him spiritually. And so God gives this young man this dream. And Joseph, rather than keeping the dream to himself, goes and shares it with his brothers. You know, we were out there and we had sheaves, and my sheaves stood up firm, and your sheaves just bow down to mine. And the way he shares a dream, everybody knows the interpretation. You don't need to go to any spiritual person to get interpretation. All the brothers know the interpretation. So what, you think you're going to rule over us now? I remember, you're in a culture where the firstborn is the one who's supposed to rule, and you come down the line, and you are the baby one, so to speak, and you are going to say that you are going to be on top, and we are going to bow down to you. We'd say back in the day, you have a gall to dare to think like that, much as to even share it. And then he gets a second dream about the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing down to him. And he goes and he shares it again. And the Bible says his brothers hated him even more. Verse 5, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. It increased. Verse 8, his brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and what he said. So they hated him now because of the dreams. It was bad enough that he was a favorite, bad enough that he got a robe, but now you're getting this dream about the future, and perhaps even the way in which he shared the dream. And you all have, I shouldn't say you all have, many of you have siblings, and so you know, you can just imagine the way in which he shared his dream. It doesn't take much to imagine it. Na, 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 na. You're going to bow down to me. Boy, it doesn't have any sense. 17 years old. And so the brothers hated him all the more. So Joseph, I believe, had some issues. You can see pride, and you can see arrogance. You can see lack of wisdom. You can see him actually being ignorant of how people function. But I am encouraged, because unlike most of you, I make all sorts of mistakes. I say all sorts of the wrong thing. I rub people the wrong way. But God still speaks to me. He still encourages me. He still says, "I have a dream for you. I have a hope for you. I have some stuff in store for you." And I think he says it to all of us. In other words, there's nothing that we can actually do that will disqualify us from hearing from God. God has a dream. God has a plan. God has some words for each and every one of us. Some things he wants us to fulfill. And no matter how we've messed up things in life, he will still speak to us. He will still reveal things to us because he loves us. Amen. And so Joseph had his dream. And he shared it. And that dream, my friends, or those dreams, those two dreams, basically confirming the same thing, I believe, are the things that kept Joseph for the next several years. I mean, what I like about Joseph, he's not like, you know, Samuel grew up in the temple and, you know, hear God's voice from early. But Joseph is not like that. He's just like most of us. You know, he's not experiencing all sort of supernatural things of the Spirit. He's just plain and ordinary. Plain and ordinary. And this type of person that God chose, the plain and ordinary, who would dare to believe the dream. Friends, when you get the dream from the Lord, when you get the word from the Lord, be careful who you share it with. There are some, I call it here, dream killers. Some situations, some people out there who will kill your dream. They will look at you as you are, and they can't see how it's going to be, how it's going to be fulfilled, and they'll kill your dream. Who are you? You can't even put together a good sentence. You're scared to stand in public. You always put your foot in the mouth. You always say the wrong thing at the wrong time. You can't even keep your room clean. You! Be careful who you share the dream with. There are people who actually don't like us. People with hatred. They don't always tell you. Joseph's brothers hated him. And so that dream, or those dreams, stood out even more than the favor from his father. Because they can't live with the fact that, you know, your daddy likes you, but you know what, we're still in charge. But now you're going to rule over us. Verse 18 of Genesis 37. But when they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. The dream is what stuck with them. That's what they had real, real problems with. Yeah, you can be the favorite. You know that coat, that robe? Any day we find it, ain't nothing wrong. We're going to tear it up anyway. But the dream. You are going to rule over us. Here comes this dreamer. Let's kill him. So you can see the level of the hatred. Hatred tends to lead to murder, to slander, to you destroying the thing or the person that you hate. So people with hatred, if you share your dream with them, they're going to try either kill you or kill the dream. People with jealousy and insecurity. It says his brothers were jealous of him, verse 11 of Genesis 37. His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the dream in mind. You are going to have such success. What about us? Where do we fit into your... Why hasn't God given me a dream? Verse 20. Come, let us kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. So be careful who you share a dream with. I've seen it so many times. Young people have a dream. Well, I want to go to New York and sing an opera. You can't even keep a tune. And before the dream can even get established, they shoot it down. They don't even give a little encouragement. Say, well, if you want to do that, perhaps you might want to take some lessons now, some vocal lessons. No, let us kill the dream. It tends to happen sometimes in families. I see myself on a mission field. You don't even like hot dogs. How are you going to go on a mission field and kill the dream? People that have no personal vision for themselves, they're not going anywhere. If you come back 10 years' time, I'm going to be right here, sitting on this same stool, telling the same old stories. I'm not going anywhere. You tell them your vision, and they're like, no, you're not going anywhere. You're going to be here, right here listening to me in 10 years' time. People with vision, when you share your vision with them, they encourage you. Because they're going somewhere. People with dreams. If you look at business, people who are successful in business, hang around them, they encourage you to be successful. But people who are not going anywhere, they have no encouragement to give you. So be careful who you share, even the prophetic word that God gives you. Be careful who you share it with. People who are not hearing from God, who don't, you know, not prepared to go anywhere for God, they don't want you to go anywhere either. I have a scripture there from Numbers that's right there with Caleb. Caleb went into the promised land. Caleb heard the word of the Lord. And Caleb was prepared to experience God's word. Numbers 14 verse 2. All Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole assembly said to them, If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land? Only let us fall by the sword. Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Would it be better for us to go back to Egypt? Verse 6, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among them who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelites assembly, "The land we pass through is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey. He will give it to us." They all saw the same thing. But because some had a dream, some believed that God had good for them, they could believe God for it, and the others were like, "No, we're going to die. We can't achieve this thing. Let us not dare think about it." Only Joshua and Caleb. 10 of them said no. They had no vision. They couldn't see how God could do it. Oh, how is God going to do this? And so what were they prepared to do? Stay right there and die in the desert? Or worse, they want to go back to the past. That's no vision. That's a past. Let's go back and do church as we used to do it back in the 1900s. No, we need to go forward. Don't share your dream or your word with unbelievers. The psalmist says, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the ways of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." They can't help you. Because this is something that God has birthed inside of you. They're going to try and tell you all the practical reasons why this thing's not going to work. Where are you going to get the finances from? So you're going to go and do missions for 6 months. How is that going to work? Where are you going to get money from? Where is it going to come from? And then we have an enemy who, once he realizes God has given us something, he comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. You know, when God was leading the Israelites through the desert, even Balak realized that God had something in store for them. And so Balak was like, "I'm going to get Balaam to come and curse these people, because I don't want them to experience what God has in store for them." And so the enemy will bring all sort of people across your path to discourage you and tell you, "This can't work." But just keep holding on to the dream. Keep holding on to the dream. Keep holding on to the word. How was Joseph going to... "I don't know. God gave me this dream, and I'm just going to hold on to it. I'm just going to keep it close." Then you have fear. "This thing is so much bigger than me. How am I going to accomplish it?" Natural fear. Fear from the enemy. Those with Caleb and Joshua, they were fearful. They were like, "These guys in the land..." Yes, the land is good, but these guys in the land, they are giants. And we were like grasshoppers. And before you know it, they're saying, "They saw us as grasshoppers." Fear. Fear always makes things look bigger than they really are. Moses, when God said, "I'm going to send you to set my people free," Moses was full of fear. And Moses found all sort of excuses. Moses says, "I'm slow of speech. I stutter. And if I go to them, they're going to say, 'Who has sent me?'" Found all sort of excuses. So much so, when he was trying to tell God that he can't speak, God actually got angry at him. He's like, "Am I not the one who made your mouth?" And so fear many times is what keeps us from fulfilling the word of the Lord, fulfilling the dream of the Lord, fulfilling the vision, the desire that God has given to us. Because we are looking at it from our own human eyes, our own human perspective. Rather than realizing when you get to that point, God will give you the grace, God will give you the anointing, God will open the doors, God will do it. So don't try and live it now. Just hold on to the vision. Just hold on to the word. Or we focus upon all the sort of negative circumstances, similar to what those 10 spies did. Focus upon all the reasons why it can't work. Joseph could have looked at himself in the pit and said, "Oh my, it's not going to work. I'm doomed. I must have fooled myself. That was too much venison last night. I had those dreams. Here I am as a slave. What am I talking about? Here I am in jail." Everything negative that could, I mean, in a natural sense, you and I could say, "Joe, I think you sort of missed it." But he knew that God had given him these dreams, and those dreams are what kept him during those times. And I'm saying to us, friends, that God gives us the word to keep us. I have a scripture there in Joshua chapter 14, where Caleb said it this way when 45 years later. Joshua 14 and verse 6. I'm going to hasten on. It says, "Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about me, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought back a report according to my convictions.'" I like that. He said, "I brought back a report," this is NIV, "according to my convictions. I saw the same thing that those guys saw, but based upon my understanding of God, based upon what God has been doing with us, based on what God is saying, I was convinced that God could take us into the land. I had a dream of going into the land. I was 40. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here am I today, 85 years old. I'm still as young today as the day Moses sent me out, and I'm just as vigorous to go out into battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day." I like Caleb. I mean, he got this vision. He got this, something was birthed in his heart when he was 40. 45 years later, my goodness. But that word, that promise kept him in the desert. When others would rebel against God, he remained faithful to the Lord. God has promised that he's going to bring me into the land, a land for myself and for my children, for my children's children. I'm not going to waver. If God said it, he's going to accomplish it. 45 years. You know, Joseph didn't have to wait that long, but Caleb had to wait 45 years until he was 85. Anybody in here 85? So that means this is applicable to all of us. Because if Caleb could wait until he's 85 and say, "Man, I'm just as young as when I was 40. I'm just as big already." You understand what I'm saying? He did not waver over the years. It's not as if he went, well, "I'm old and gray now. Well, my children can get it, but..." No, he was like, "No, I'm ready." He took the initiative and went to Joshua and said, "No, come on, Josh. The Lord promised me this land. The Lord gave me this word. And the Lord has kept me alive." He said, "The word of God will keep you alive, friends. It will keep you in the tough times. When things get difficult, you can say, 'Lord, you have promised. I'm pressing through because you have promised. It has not yet come to pass.' The doctor give you a bad report and like, 'No, I can't die yet because the promise is yet to be fulfilled.'" You understand what I'm saying, friends? And so Caleb held on to God's word. until it came to pass. Keep the dream alive, friends. Don't let the word slip. That word will keep you in difficulties. That word will help you to press through. It will cause your faith to arise. The word often pertains to the future. There are some things to run through quickly. And God will usually confirm his word. Joseph had to confirm. Caleb and Joshua went in and saw the land for themselves. So they know. There were all sorts of opposition to the word. In the land of Canaan, there were giants in the land. They were big. There's no doubt about it. The Jews are a relatively small people. Those guys are big and they're buff. But the reality is that we don't live by sight. We live by faith. And God will accomplish whatever he says. Just keep holding on. Keep holding on. If God has promised your children, keep holding on. Keep praying for them until God breaks through. I don't care what the word is. Just keep holding on to it. Keep dreaming the dreams. Keep praying into it. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. Timothy, my son, I give you these instructions in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight. Fight the good fight based upon the word of the Lord, based upon the prophecies of the Lord, based upon the dream of the Lord. Pray unto them. Rebuke the enemy when he comes. Because God has said this. Therefore, devil, get thee behind me. God will fulfill his word. God will bring me through. It kept Joseph. Through all of those lean times, it kept him. You see, the word, because his future might not necessarily be fulfilled tomorrow. Caleb was 45 years later. My Lord. I'm saying, Lord, please, not so long. But 45 years later. And he kept holding on to the word. Getting the prophetic word doesn't mean that God approves of all the things in our character. Joseph got his two dreams, but he had all sorts of issues. And I believe God, through circumstances, and we'll get to this later on, used circumstances to get some of those issues out of Joseph's life. And so sometimes God gives us a word and we think it's going to be tomorrow, and God is like, well, I need to get this out of you first. You need to learn to talk to people. You need to learn to love people. You need to learn to empathize with people. So, yes, I want to put you over here, but before you get there, I'm going to have to take you over here first and work some things inside of us. And so not because God has said something means that he approves of everything in our life. No, he's just given us something to keep our focus, so that when he's working on us, we don't run away. We can still press through and allow him to purify our lives and to build character inside of us. If Sean would come on back, we're going to wrap this thing up. If God said it, then we need to wait upon the timing of the Lord. Habakkuk says it this way. Habakkuk 2 and verse 2. The Lord answered me and said, record the vision. Write it down. God has said something to you. Write it down. Record it somewhere, mentally, somewhere. Record it. And inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. And here it is talking about actually revelation about things in the future. But it applies even to what God says to us. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens towards a goal and will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. For it will certainly come, it will not delay. And so it's for the future. So God is saying, you have to learn to wait upon the Lord. If we try and fulfill it in our own strength, we end up with problems. Abraham did that. He tried to fulfill God's word when God was saying, wait upon me. and ended up with Ishmael. Moses did that. Moses realized God had called him to set his people free, and he tried to use his own strength by killing the Egyptian and created problems for himself. Wait upon the Lord. Don't kick down the door to try and get in. God will open the doors as we wait upon him. Because God wants to work this thing in such a way that when people look back, they can only say it is God who has done it. It is God who made it possible. You look at the life of Joseph, and we all know the end results, and we can all say it was God who did it. So learn to wait upon the Lord through prayer, through obedience to his word, through realizing God will bring it about in his own timing. But keep the vision alive. Keep the word alive. Keep the dream alive. It might take a while, but keep it alive. It will help us in the down times. It will help us to triumph in the intermediary circumstances. Because I'm looking beyond where I'm at. I'm looking at what God has in store. Let us stand. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us that no matter what is happening in our lives, there's a dream, there's a word, there's something that God has either spoken to us or will speak to us. And we don't have to be some nice, perfect, goody-two-shoes person. We can be going through all sort of internal struggles and all sort of issues in our lives, and God will still speak to us. God will still give us a dream. God will still give us a word. God will still show us something for the future. Because he's that type of God. He's a God who wants to give us a hope. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to know that he has good in store for you and for me. And yes, people might not understand our dream. Yes, some people might even want to discourage us. But if you know that God has spoken, then keep the dream alive, friends. Keep it alive. Keep praying into it. Wait on the Lord, but keep praying into it. Because God will bring it to pass in his own timing. Let's just bow our heads this morning. As we're standing right here, maybe God has said some things to you in the past. I'm going to trust God that as we are quiet right now, that he will remind you of some of these things. As he will speak into your heart again and say, keep this one alive. Fan this one into flame. Keep praying concerning this one. Write down this one over here.